Yeah. Well, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that things aren't as bad at the southern border as they planned on being, and that the devil isn't getting away with everything that he wants to do. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for keeping our lawmen safe down there. And Father, that Texas is at least fighting the good fight of faith and passing laws to fight against this criminal government. Father, we thank you that you will win this in the end. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's just the Colorado Supreme Court. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. Yeah. They're not going to be able to keep him off. It's going to go to the Supreme Court, and then they'll turn it down. So, and some even think it might even be 9-0, the vote, which I kind of have a hard time believing that, but I could see 5-4 pretty easy, but. Okay. Do we have any more prayer requests? Okay. You know, when Jesus was born, God had a really cool plan. See, he wanted us to live a much better life than what they were living. They had a horrible life. They had a terrible life. And actually, if you look back at that time, that day and time, it's not too far removed from what we're living in right now. We have out of control political system. They had out of control taxes. Everything was just completely upside down. The religious order had been beaten down to a pulp, to the point where they weren't really recognizable. When Jesus got here, there was nothing close to what his standards were. But God wanted us to live a high life, a higher life than what people were living at that time. Look over to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to the God and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Stop right there for just a second. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. There's a lot of people that are really, really taunting God. You know, they're mocking God. There's whole denominations that are mocking God. And I just read a thing just yesterday, that 25% of the Methodist Church has pulled away from the convention. And they're not tolerating what they're putting out. Now the Pope has even started allowing gay marriages. That's taunting God. That's mocking God. That's going completely against his system. But the Bible clearly tells them to seek the Lord. There's no better time than now for people to repent and turn around. This world is racing into a whole new age. There's not much time left. God wants as many people born again as he can possibly get. We don't know how things are going to turn out, what all is going to happen in between now and then, but we know that there's a new deal coming. We know that Jesus said he's coming back. This is no time to be bold in your assertions against God. And there's a lot of people that are being real, real brave, real stupid. Now God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now that happened before the cross. See, on the other side of the cross, the Bible says, now let this mind be in you that was in Jesus. You can literally have the mind of Christ. I mean, God's thoughts will be your thoughts. Your thoughts will line up with his. His way, your ways will line up with his ways. See, we don't have to live in a state of not knowing what God's up to. See, we can ask God what he's doing. We can ask God what he wants done. We can, you know, and in fact, every time God done something major on this earth, he had people directly involved in it. And the first thing he had to do with them is change their tongue. That means he had to change what they were saying. See, he gave Abram a promise that he was going to have a child and that his seed was going to be as vast as the stars. And then nothing happened for a long time. And then finally, Abraham said, what are you going to do, seeing as I don't have a seed? I don't have a child. He was still Abram at that point. Then God changed his name to Abraham, so Abraham had to walk around calling himself the father of many nations for quite a while. What was he doing? He was calling things that aren't as though they are until Isaac happened. He changed his vocabulary. He does it to people all the time. When people's vocabulary actually lines up with God's, then things change in their life. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. You should circle this verse. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Always know this. God's word never dies. God's word never changes. Now we have people trying to change God's word to fit their lifestyle, and that won't do. That's not going to work. God's word does not change. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never changes. So God sent his word. That word didn't die. And it said right here, it will not return to him void, but it will accomplish that which he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. You know, the Bible tells us that he sent his word and it healed them. See, God's word doesn't die. One of the coolest things I ever read was about this jockey that got, he was strung out on drugs and alcohol, and he got a motel room, and he passed out, and he fell off of his bed. And above him, there was a TV plan, and there was a preacher on there. And this preacher was preaching, and that jockey got born again, laying on the floor right there underneath that TV. He got born again. Well, he got sobered up from that experience, and then he tracked that preacher down, and he told him his story about how that happened. And they started asking him questions about what year that was, and they knew what sermon that was. And they figured that sermon originally had been preached 12 years earlier, and he was listening to a rerun. That word does not die. That word is still just as valuable and still alive as it was the day God sent it. He said, "You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be the Lord, shall be to the Lord, for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." You know, have you ever thought about that verse? Maybe we could use that verse here in Texas. Instead of a thorn, to come up a fir tree? Wouldn't you rather have fir trees with all these cat claws? A few less mesquite. We still need mesquite trees to cook with, but we don't have to have everywhere, all the time. And the choya could probably go somewhere else. And the goat heads, they could just disappear. Completely. They could be extinct. That'd be okay. You know, there was a missionary who went down into somewhere in Central America, and he went to this village, and he started having revival meetings, started having meetings down there. And when he got there, everywhere there was just thorns, nothing good growed, nothing. You know, there was bars everywhere. There was jails everywhere. It was a horrible place to be. But he got in there and he started having meetings, and people started getting born again. And they had a mass revival. And this revival got so carried away that these people went out, and every road coming into that town, they put a sign up that said, "Jesus is Lord of this town." That sounds pretty cool now, doesn't it? But then pretty soon they started closing bars down because they were going out of business. And then they started closing jails down because people weren't getting in trouble anymore. But the coolest thing was all of a sudden there were just lines of produce trucks that were coming out of that town. They said that they were growing cabbages that were so big they couldn't fit them into a 5-gallon bucket. What happened? Right there, these people got born again, and they started believing the blessing, and they turned their thorn patch into a garden patch. That's cool. That's what the Word of God can do for you. That's what the Word of God could do for this place. You know, this place could be a green, bustling place all the time. We just have to get more of us talking about what a blessed place this is with lush grass and less people running around calling it a desert. That makes some people mad. And I say, this is not a desert. This is not a desert. I grew up not far from a desert. And in a desert, you run one cow to the section, and sometimes you have to feed her. And there's sand dunes. You know, Wyoming has one of the biggest living sand dunes in the nation. That's a desert. This is a blessed, beautiful place. The words of our mouth will make it even better. Look over here to John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's Jesus' own words. He will come again. It's not a maybe, it's not an if. He will. He will come again. If you're under the blood, then you can look forward to that day. People that aren't under the blood, maybe not so much. It says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, whithersoever, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto the Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Right there in verse 6, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. There is only one way in. See, you will be heavily vetted to get into the kingdom of God. It's a straight and narrow path. See, this is the straight and narrow path they talk. One way to the Father, that's through Jesus. There's no other way to God other than through Jesus. There's people preaching all kinds of wild nonsense that, you know, some of them say we're all children of God. No. No, you're not a child of God until you get born again. Sorry, but that's the way it is. You're not a child of God until you get born again. You are somebody's child, but not God. See, before you get born again, guess who you belong to? You belong to Satan. Everybody likes to run around and say, well, I'm a free person. No, you're really not. And if you're not born again, you're in bondage to the devil. But I live a good life. You know, the devil will let you live a good life sometimes. He'll let you be just comfortable enough to get you far enough along down the road to get you into hell. I often wondered what the draw was for people to, what it took for people to sell their soul. I didn't really know. You know, I was studying one day and I read an account. This guy said he joined up the Illuminati, which is basically you did that. And said, I immediately had $30 million. $ $30 million. That's all it took to give yourself an eternity in hell? Was that worth it somehow? Some people think so. I know you've all heard the saying they would sell their soul for 40 acres. Or they'd sell their soul for another dollar. There's people actually that would sell their soul for money. There's people that sell their soul for fame, for power, prestige. Most of our politicians in Washington have sold their soul. So now you don't have to wonder why they don't have compassion on a lot of people. They say they will do this for you and do this for you, but then it's a lie to get people to vote for them. Not far off from back in the bad old days before Jesus was born. We're pretty close to it right now. Go over to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is where, when we get born again, we find out that the Word of God is actually offensive to our flesh. Did you know that? I mean, when you first get born again, you got a lot of training in the world, and you got a lot of ideas that you thought were right. You know, you've been told all your life that they're right, and they maybe have been told that these are facts that you can live by. And then we get born again, and we start reading the Word of God, and the Word of God goes completely opposite of what we've been taught. Has anybody ran across that? I have. A whole bunch of times. There's things that I thought was right, but the Word of God said they were wrong. And then there was things that I thought, yeah, maybe stay away from that, but actually they were right. That's what he's saying. There are ways that seem right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. It's not a good thing. See, we don't just come up with our own ideas. And this is why it's so important, vitally important, to read the Bible and just believe what you read. There's too many people that will only read what they believe. If you wonder how that happens, you know, there's just certain chapters in the Bible that some people just absolutely do not read. Sorry about that. It's been a busy day. But there's whole chapters. And one time I watched a preacher preaching in this church, and this church was the talk of the town. Thousands of people going to this church. It was huge. And they said, oh, you got to go to this church. This is awesome. So I went to this church, and I was sitting there, and I was following along. And all of a sudden, I said, you know, this guy's Baptist. They said it was just another name. They said they weren't Baptist. They said it was just non-denominational type church. They had a special name for it. And I listened to him, and he said, I'm going to bump off the scripture here, and I could get in big trouble for this. And he didn't really even braze up against that scripture. He just kind of hinted that maybe you could have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he bounced right back away from it and didn't say any more about that. So I went to my friend and I said, hey, what's the, because my friend, he was a staunch Baptist, and I went to him and I said, what's this church over here? And I said, I was there when they split off. They split off from the Second Baptist, and they just took off, did their own thing. I said, okay, so they're still Baptist? Oh, yeah, they're still Baptist. But look, he was reading what he believed. So he wasn't going through everything and believing what he read. There's a lot of people do that. A lot of people will kind of cherry pick the things that they like and stay away from the things that they don't like. They don't want their flesh affected. That's a dangerous place to be in. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I know that every one of you at some point has heard, just follow your own heart. Follow the Word of God. And I know that you've all heard this, and do what makes you happy. That's straight out of the devil's text. Did you know that? In the what they have, a satanic Bible, it tells you to do whatever makes you happy. That is not what God said. He said, follow me. He said, abide in me. He said, pray to the Father in the name of the Son. These are the things that are caused joy to be in your heart. Not happiness, joy. We're not seeking. Happiness is one of those things that people seek happiness, but what's really eating them on the inside that they really need is joy. The only thing you'll find out is happiness is just like a wave of the sea. One minute you're up, one minute you're down. You know, you can be happy one minute, and then somebody just bursts your little pink cloud, and all of a sudden you're not happy no more. And then pretty soon you're happy again, and then pretty soon you're not happy no more. Then pretty soon you're happy, you got a raise. Then pretty soon you're not happy no more, you got a flat tire. See, happiness is just an emotion. But joy is a fruit. Joy is that fruit that will keep you level. See, you're not real super high, you're not ever low, super low. You're just okay. That's where we need to be, right down the middle of the road. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. See, there's a lot of ways to get to hell. There's a wide open gate. But to heaven is a straight and narrow way. See, even God believes in walls and gates. And he believes in vetting people. See, you're going to, not anybody is going to be able to just walk up there and get in. And there's only one way to get that passport, and that's through the Son. People need to understand this. People that stand behind the pulpit need to understand this. I see preachers gaslighting people, saying, you got to love everybody. You got to love everybody. You got to love everybody. I say, yeah, you do got to love everybody. You do. Make no mistake about that. But that doesn't mean that you love them so much that you get to have a gay marriage. See, that's not what they're talking about. That doesn't mean you love them so much that you can have a gay pastor. That doesn't mean that you love so much that you can go ahead and bless their abortions. That's not what he's talking about. Yes, we do love the sinner. We hate sin, but we love the sinner. And just because we make a stand against something wrong doesn't mean that we hate those people. That just means that we've made a stand. So you see how people get confused when people from behind the pulpit won't preach the truth. We have to stand up to darkness whenever darkness raises its head. There's a lot of darkness getting pushed around, even in town. There's a lot of darkness getting pushed around. We have to stand up to that. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the light and the life. You are the resurrection. And Father, we thank you that our way into peace, this perfect shalom, is through you. And that you cause joy to happen in our hearts when we abide in you. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.